I have at no time spoken. I speak to you now. I represent here the Holy Inquisition, of which I am the vicar for France. I have arrived from the south of Spain and have little knowledge of the French and English war. It does not concern me whether Charles or the Lancaster Henry rules over France. It does not concern me that the French Duke of Burgundy has joined the English, and thus Frenchmen fights French brother. They are all children of the Church. Nor have I interest in defending the temporal integrity of the Church in these quarrels. We leave such matters to our bishops and our priests. I find to be curious about the kindness of humanity which seem to move to judgment, nor do we find interest in these endless dreams of the devil that haunt the nights of the promoter. The Holy Inquisition fights in the dark world of night against an enemy it alone can recognize. We do not care that the princes of the earth have sometimes laughed at the vigilance with which we pursue the enemy, the time and thought that we give to the judgment of the enemy. The princes of the earth are sometimes hurrying and shallow men. They remove their enemies with a length of rope, and in the crudeness of their thinking, they believe the danger ended there. We hear the mocking laughter of such men, and we forgive it. The Holy Inquisition concerned itself with matters unknown to temporal kings. Our enemy is a great enemy and has a great name. Do you know his name?
No, monsieur. I do not understand you.
You will understand me. Stand up! You will answer now to me. Are you a Christian?
Yes, monsieur.
The trees that shaded the village church threw shadows in the house of your father. The bells of the church brought you to prayer and sent you to work. The men we sent to your village all bring the same word. You were a pious girl.
Yes, monsieur.
You were a tender little girl, and you were a tender woman. You cried for the wounded in every battle.
Yes, I cried for the wounded. They were French.
And you cried for the English. You stayed with the wounded English soldier who screamed through a night of pain. You held him until he died, giving him hope and calling him your child.
You know that, monsieur?
Yes. The Holy Inquisition knows much of you, Joan. Grave, considerate talk was given to you. And they sent me here to judge you.
Monsieur Inquisitor, Joan has always acted with kindness and Christian charity. Yet this court has buried it in silence. I am happy to hear your remarks.
Silence, Brother Labdou! I ask you not to forget that the Holy Inquisition alone is qualified to distinguish between theological virtues and that troubled brew which men so boastfully call the milk of human kindness.
Ah, oh, my masters! What strange matters concern you all? Your business is to defend the faith.
You see the kind eyes of a young girl, and you are overwhelmed.
But our Lord loved with charity and kindness, monsieur. He said to a sinner, go in peace. He
told Silence, him. Brother Labnou! You are young. I am told your learning is very great, and that is why you were admitted to this trial. Therefore, I am hopeful that experience will teach you not to translate the great words into the vulgar tongue, nor embroider the meaning of the word to suit your heart. Be seated and be silent. You were very young when you first heard your voices.
Yes, monsieur.
I am going to shock you. There is nothing very exceptional about the voices you heard in those days. Our archives are full of such cases. There are many young missionaries, girls, frequently experience a crisis of mysticism. It passes. But with you, and your priest would have recognized it. The crisis was prolonged. The messages became precise, and the celestial voices began to use most unusual words.
Oh, yes. My voices told me to save the kingdom of France.
A strange order to an ignorant peasant girl.
Oh, not so strange, monsieur. Because it turned out to be the truth.
It would have been more fitting For a pious girl to have spent her life in prayers and in penitence, and in such manner obtained from heaven the promise that the English would be defeated.
Oh, I did all that. But I think you must first fight and then pray. That's the way God wants it. But I had to teach Charlie how to attack. And he believed me. And Dunois and Lahaya believed me. Good men, strong bulls they were, and warriors. We had some fine battles together, too. Riding boot to boot.
To the kill! Did your voices instruct you to kill?
I have never killed a man. But war is war!
And you love war, Joan.
Yes. And that is one of the sins from which God will have to absolve me. Oh, but I did not like pain or death. At night I would weep for the wounded on the battlefield.
You would weep at night for the wounded, but by morning you are starting for a new battle.
I say God did not wish one Englishman to remain in France. That's not so hard to understand, is it? We had to do our work, that's all. You are wise men. You think too much. Your heads are filled with too much celestial science. You don't understand even the simplest things anymore. Things that my dullest soldier would understand without talk. Isn't that true, Lahaya?